Let's jump into tonight, do a little recap since it's been a few. We looked at Ephesians 5 and we said this, we will come back to this again, so hold on. The secret place is living in the light of God's wisdom. And then we said this, it appears there's a great distinction in the life flow of those who live under the shadow, meaning that when you live under the light of God's wisdom, your life should look differently. People that are around you as you follow God, they should say there's something different about your life. I hope that's your testimony. I do know that we're all human and we all have a side of humanity that can show up at times, and we would call it the good, bad, and the ugly, but hopefully the more you know Jesus and the more you grow, the bad and the ugly dwindles and the good starts to shine through. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It goes this way. We call that living under the shadow is the mind and the wisdom of God. And then this thought we left last week. Again, living in the light produces a product. From the beginning of time, God has designed that we humans would be the light of the world, and that we would live in the light, and living in the light, we would be children of the light. Being children of the light, we would produce the fruit of light. We'll talk about all that in the next few weeks ahead. We still have a few weeks to land this plane. Then we said this, we're not simply individual beings of light. We're a community of light. We were never meant to shine alone. Jesus sent them out two by two, and we're all to come together. And the way we shine the brightest, you ready? The way we shine the brightest is in loving one another. The Bible says that our love for each other shows forth the love of Christ to the world, how we love each other and we get along. This is kind of where we left off, that we've sort of landed with that when we're in Christ Jesus, that if this was a spiritual shot, if we could look into the spirit realm, this is, I think, what it would look like. I think that we're carrying the light of the gospel, we're carrying the light of Christ in us, and we're supposed to shine in the darkness and not just, you know, the darkness of the evil that's in the world. And that's kind of what I've tried to build over the last 10 weeks in our life. So let's look at lesson 11 tonight. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to go 1 Corinthians and then we're going to come back to John chapter 1. We're going to look at both of these chapters. It's going to take us about 3 weeks to pan this out. So tonight's kind of an introduction to what we're going to talk about. And then we're going to take about the next 2 or 3 weeks and wrap this up. And then we'll conclude mid-May. Let's jump into Corinthians. Here was that thought I told you to hold off on. We're going to pull this out a little deeper. The secret place, and this is in your notes, is living in the light of God's wisdom. I hope I've done a good job getting that into your spirit, that when he that dwelleth in the secret place, your secret place, we're talking about the wisdom of God, the wisdom that comes from his word. We're going to dig this out a little deeper tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's what it states. Verse 19, as the scriptures say, this is God, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will discard the intelligent of the intelligent. Just the way God thinks is, this may help us, he's not too impressed with how smart we are. I think we like our own smartness as humans. I think we like to think that, well, we're making AI, artificial intelligence, and as much as that can wow my mind of what artificial intelligence can do, I think God just looks at it like we're all still dumb anyway, because he looks at human wisdom, and on our best day, it falls short of what God is trying to do. On our best day, our intelligence falls short of what God is trying to do. So if we're not careful in this Christian walk, what happens is we, you know, hey, I believe in Jesus, but we never learn how to live outside of the wisdom of the world. We just kind of have Jesus plus Google, and we try to balance the two out. Jesus plus Wikipedia, Jesus plus WebMD, Jesus plus all the knowledge of the world. If we're not careful, all of the knowledge of the world, and it's enough to keep you busy, right? It'll keep you perpetually busy Googling any amount of knowledge you want to Google. And God says, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence. It goes on to say, verse 20. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? Because it's leaving us with a question that typical is to always look for somebody who knows more than you to have the answer. Amen? Like if I'm in a hole, I need somebody that knows more than me to get me out of the hole. Nothing wrong with that, whether that's a doctor, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, or a counselor. We're always looking for somebody to help get me out of this hole so I can be a better person. Those are good things, but in relationship to what God is looking for in our life, He asks a good question. So what does this do with all these smart people? What does it do with all the people that know the answer to everything? He says, God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. So let me say this about the Christian walk. The Christian walk is always going to look foolish to the natural mind. It just never makes sense. I say, if you really want to know how foolish it is, tell a broke person to give. There's no way the natural mind can understand I'm hurting for money, I need money, and now you tell me to give money. And yet in my personal life, my own life, I have seen this principle that every time I get nervous, and back in the early years when Rob and I was married, that was monthly, paying the bills. It's like, oh my God, I'm just falling apart. I don't have enough. I can't do it. And I lived that way quite a while. So there was this aspect of what I would know the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I knew the verses in Corinthians, when you give, give cheerfully and do it abundantly. I knew the scriptures in Luke, with what measure you give, God will measure back to you. I heard all the sermons, if you want a spoonful, give a spoonful. If you want a shovel, give a shovel. If you want a wheelbarrow, give a wheelbarrow. And I had heard that my whole life, but what was happening is the wisdom of my mind could not connect to the wisdom of God. I could not get them to be congruent. It just never made sense. It had to add up mathematically. It had to make sense. In other words, the only way I could give would be to look in the checkbook and go, I can afford to do this. And there was many times there's no way I could afford to do that. It was impossible. I could have proven it being possible. But this says God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish. So just with this one aspect of giving, there is an aspect to where the wisdom of God is going to drive your noggin crazy. He loves, I think, to do that because He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to let go of the wisdom of the world. So I did it. I called Dad. I was whining to Dad about I couldn't make it. Rob, we had two kids and I wasn't making enough in being a youth pastor. And I remember 304 Green Valley Drive, Johnson City, Tennessee. I opened up the front door of my house. I'm sure my neighbors thought I was a lunatic. And I screamed, I command every spirit of poverty to leave my home. You have no right over me, no power over me, no privilege over me. And I stood on my front porch and said, I command the blessings of God to show up and come because I'm going to be a giver and I'm not going to be a taker. That was 1994. Now in that, it's easy to pray that and feel very Pentecostal. It's quite another thing to put your actions where your faith is. And there's a lot of people that have faith. They know, but they don't have faith because they don't do. So you can have faith, I know, but faith that does is in the belly. I know. It's a knowing in the knower. And so I made a decision. I'll never go to church that I don't take an offering. Sometimes that would be a quarter. But I'm going to show up and I'm going to train myself to be a giver. I'm going to train myself to give above and beyond. I'm going to train myself to not sit here. And so as I started paying bills every month, I could feel the tension, this wisdom of the world. You're going to go broke. You're going to have to go get a second, third, fourth job. You're not going to be able to make it. The wisdom, nothing wrong with it. You got to be good with your money, but it was just a frustration of, does this really work? And I just would decide, this is back in the old days, you know how old it is, when you had to write a check and send it off. And I would write a check and I could feel the anxiety and I would stop and I would go, no. And I would turn to another check in the checkbook and I'd say, okay, God, where can I give? Who can I give to? What can I do? Sometimes it would be $5, $10. I just knew it needed to be something that could force me to trust His wisdom. And it became the most profound, mind-blowing, never lack a thing off doing the dumbest thing a broke person could do, which is give, because you become more broke. That's the wisdom of the world. If you're broke and you give, you're more broke. But the wisdom of God is give, and I'll give to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I don't even know how to explain how God does it. But He's used people all over the world in the strangest of ways. Well, why? That's His wisdom. Now, if you sit down and explain that to anybody that doesn't know the wisdom of God, you're either an idiot or you're a preacher that just wants everybody's money. Because the wisdom of the world doesn't see it that way. It goes on to say this, verse 21, since God in His wisdom. So there's an aspect to your life where God has a wisdom different than your own. And if you really want to know how to grow in faith, let your wisdom and His wisdom have an arm wrestling match. You're going to lose every time, but there's something about wrestling with God to try to convince Him that my wisdom is better than His. I'll go back to giving. God, just be patient with me. I'm going to get all this taken care of, and then one day I'll give. And God's like, okay, so you want to wrestle with wisdom here, right? Yes, because I think my wisdom is a little better than yours. Put your dukes up. Let's talk it out. Like, the reality of that is there's a lot, even let's leave money and let's just come to forgiveness. God's wisdom is forgive them. And I'm like, yeah, I'll forgive them when they apologize to me. I'll forgive them when they earn it. But He says, no. The people that have done you wrong, bless them. Do good to them. And I'm like, I can do good to people that do good to me and bless people who bless me, but I'm not going to bless the people that curse me. Are you kidding me? And so the battle becomes, can I live this wisdom of God? Now go back to what we've been saying. He that dwelleth in the secret place abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Then the rest of Psalm 91, this beautiful fruit. Your life is blessed. 1,000 at your side, 10,000, no diseases can come nigh your dwelling. I mean, it's just the craziest passage of Scripture. But it's not a passage of Scripture that's about the lucky get to do this, but that can I live in the secret place of His wisdom? And the answer should be, yes, any human can live in His wisdom. Until you realize you also have wisdom, and His wisdom wrestles with your wisdom. So this is what it says. God in His wisdom saw to it that the world, now watch, would never know Him. Now what we understand is His wisdom is not to frustrate you. His wisdom is so you can know who He is. And now I know the God of the universe to be a provider. And if you tell me no, I'll say, I know Him to be that. He has proven that side of His character to me because I trusted His wisdom over my wisdom. And now by trusting His wisdom, I know Him. I know Him to be a peace giver because I trusted His wisdom in the middle of anxiety. And I had to learn. I wrote a book. I had to learn to let the anxiety, the panic attacks, the fear that would grip me. And yet I knew, again, I knew the Scriptures. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He's the God of all peace and all comfort. He'll comfort you in all your ways. I knew the Scriptures. But my wisdom was, my heart's racing. I'm still having heart palpitation. I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm losing it. The room's spinning. I can't do this. I mean, literally, it took me 20 years. And so I finally came to the place of, well, I'm going to trust him. One of the biggest things that happened in this was when Olivia was born. And I was such a panicked kid that I couldn't let her sleep at night thinking, well, what if she dies? And so I was obsessed to constantly go in her little crib and shake her to make sure she's still breathing. Because the wisdom of the world is crib death. Remember all of that came out? SIDS, sleep them on their stomach. Then a month later, no, it's the back. No, then it's on the left side. No, the right side. It's just like you just flip them like a rotisserie chicken just to keep them alive. Like, I don't know what it is tonight, but flip them. And Robin's like, what are you doing? You keep waking her up. And I'm like, I just have to check on her. I got to make sure she's breathing. I put my little hand on her to make sure her stomach's breathing. I don't want her to die at night. But I knew the scriptures. I didn't know him. I knew the scriptures about peace, but I didn't know the peace. And God says, my wisdom is so that you can know me. So I'm laying in bed one night. Olivia's brand new born, pretty much. And I'm laying there struggling, and I'm getting up, and I hear, I thought you were going to trust me. And I just got frustrated. I'm like, well, I do trust you, but I still need to check on her. And this is the battle going in my soul, talking to what I assume to be God. I do trust you, but I'm going to go just check on her to make sure. And I put my feet on the floor, and I heard again in my heart, what I assumed to be the voice of God. I thought you said you were going to trust me. And I'm like, I do trust you, but I just want to go check on her. He said, well, if you trust me, lay back down and don't check on her. And man, it was all I could do to have this moment of, okay, I'm going to lay here. And when I did, the voices of human wisdom, if she dies tonight, it's your fault. You should have checked on her. That feeling to check on her was God. You should have got out and checked on her. She'll be dead in the morning. It'll be your fault because God's been trying to get you to... I mean, my whole brain is just flipping. And I'll never forget laying there, grabbing the side of the bed, going, no, I'm not moving. I trust God. I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to live with panic attacks. I'm not going to live thinking my kid's going to die every night. I'm going to trust the Lord. I don't know how long it took me to go to bed, if I did go to bed. Guess what? She woke up. Guess what? She woke up yesterday. She's over 30 years old now. God spared me 30 years of hell just by, can you trust me? So what God is trying to do is to get me out of here and get me into here. And there's a lot of people that believe they're born again, but they don't know him. They know the scriptures, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They can sing the songs. Michael's going to come sing some songs. I can sing the songs, but do I know his character? I know that there's a basket up here for offerings, but do I know he's a provider? I know that I just ignore those people and I've blocked them, but do I know his true forgiveness? And this is the battle that goes on with many people because it's not really a battle for the devil and God. The devil's been dealt with. It's the battle of wisdom and wisdom. And you need to be careful with who you talk to because sometimes wisdom can talk to wisdom and both of you can miss God. And if you're not careful, sometimes wisdom and his wisdom, you'll Google and get wisdom rather than wisdom. So there's an aspect to God, and I'll say this and move on. I don't want to belabor it. Nobody can know him for you. You have to know him. I can tell you my stories. Hopefully it inspires you to hear other stories. Hopefully when Sam stands up and says, I've been delivered, and he tells his story and we all clap. But at the end of our clapping, God says, okay, but do you know me? Not do you know me through Sam, do you know me through your own personal trust, your own personal letting go of the addictions or the letting go of the fears, or do you know me yourself? And I don't know, I've not done the research, but I find more and more that people know, but they don't know. And people know the religion and they know all the phrases to say, but they're tormented because they've never had a personal experience with Almighty God to where He becomes real to them. I would say, I didn't ask Dad, but I would say if I came to my dad and said, Dad, now you know, this economy, ooh, it's awful. My mother texted me the other day and said, oh, dear Lord, I'm at the grocery store buying watermelon. Dear Lord, I just wanted a little pack, $15. I'm like, yeah, welcome to, we just spent $450 to feed the kids. God help us. You know, girls, we're going to do a 40-day fast, so just hold on. But if I came to my dad, he's 88, almost 88, and I said to Dad, I said, Dad, I want you to know something. Economy's bad. I just want you to know you might not want to give so much. You might want to hold on to a little bit just in case. My dad would laugh me off the front porch. He would rebuke me and tell me, what kind of devil got into you, son? You know why? Because he knows the wisdom of his heavenly Father. And do you know how he knows it? He practiced it. Do you know how he practiced it? He chose to do it when his brain didn't want to do it. And now he has a testimony. Well, that's where God wants to take us all. Verse 22, it is foolish to the Jews who ask for a sign from heaven. It is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. It's foolish to sit out and say, well, God, I'll start tithing if you'll, or let's go giving. I'll start being a giver if you'll let me win the lotto, if you'll let me get a raise. Just give me a sign that I need to give. Or I think I'm going to go on YouTube and see, should I or should I not be a giver when I'm broke? Like we're always looking rather than just trusting His wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, and I highlighted these two words because they're comical to me. The Jews are offended, then the Gentiles say it's nonsense. If you ever want to know what it's like to serve God, there's your two words. Offense and nonsense. And if you follow Him, there will be a high likelihood you're going to get offended. Because He's going to ask something of you you don't like. He's going to ask something of you that your brain says, no, I don't want to do that. And He's going to pull you to know Him. And it's going to be very offended. I don't want you to go sleeping with your boyfriend anymore, but I love him. And it, you know, okay, I understand, but I'm talking my wisdom, not yours. And it can easily be offended. And then he says it's nonsense. And probably this one word has been the biggest word that I've seen lately in our culture, is that we're living in a culture of America where if you ever just look and go, this is just nonsense. Oh my God, how did we go this far down the hole? We have more knowledge today than we've ever had. And yet the nonsense is astounding. Now that's my take on the culture I live in. But you know what? The people that I say are nonsense and that's stupid look back at me and say, you believe some Jewish dude? How narrow-minded of you. How stupid of you to think some Jewish guy is the God of the world. You want me to believe some archaic old book that still believes in slavery and abuse, and then they quote all the scriptures? Because what's happening is both sides of the fence are having a wisdom battle. And if we're not careful, the church will cave to the wisdom of the world to reach the world. That's right. And what we'll end up with is a group of people who claim to know all the facts of Jesus, but they don't know Him. They know the churches are filled with people who know the facts of, but they don't know Him. But to those who are called by God, verse 24, to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, I love this. Remember our thought at the very beginning. The secret place is walking in the light of the wisdom of God. And listen to this. Christ is the power of God and the what? The secret place isn't a place, it's a relationship with a person. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High is the light of His wisdom. What is the light of His wisdom? The light of His wisdom is Christ. So he that dwelleth in Christ dwells under the shadow of the Creator God. And then all these results of his life begin to flourish. So that to dwell in the secret place is not you getting in your prayer closet. To dwell in the secret place is not you just going to a church or some conference. The secret place is you're knowing Jesus Christ. To what level do you know him? To what level do you really know him, have a relationship with him, hear his voice? You know, I said to Mom, their B group meets every other Monday. They have several 30-plus people that come. And she said, well, I'm sorry if, you know, we just got so many ages. I know it's a senior adult B group, but we just have people all over the ages. And I'm like, Mom, that's beautiful. Like, the problem with today is we push all the old people in the corner to make them happy, and then we have all the young people over here thinking they're brilliant, this group of people stupid, and they need to be over here with this group of people that have been there, done that, lived that, tried that, and proved that, because the mothers and fathers of the faith can convince the sons and daughters of the faith how to know him through choosing to trust him. And our society today pushes all the old people away that have earned the scars and they've got the testimonies and they have the stories. And we shove them all to the side to put real hip young people on the stage that don't even have a scar. They don't, their sword's not even dented. They don't even understand how to fight through something. Give me an old person with one eye and a crooked leg that's fought it out, that's been in the prayer closet, that's wrestled with some devils, that's taken the Bible and consumed the Bible. Put that person in front of me when I'm pouting and watch what they'll tell you. It'll probably start like this. Well, honey, sit down a minute. Let me tell you something. Like what? And what they're going to tell you is they're going to tell you about the person they came to know. And it just, I tell Dad that every time Dad preaches, I say, every time you preach, I feel like my faith just explodes because I want to know God like you know him. But he knows him. He's got 30 more years on him of knowing God. So find you an old person. Hang out with them. Take them to pizza. And just say, tell me some stories. Christ is the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the light shall abide under the shadow. He that dwelleth in Christ shall abide under the shadow. Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the wisdom of God. So he that dwells in Christ, to know him. And what does Paul say? That I might know him. And today, I think there's a lot of, this is just an opinion, I think knowledge is so profound today that we're distracted in knowing him to know all the other stuff. Because knowledge just abounds. And so the moment I have a problem in my life, I want to Google to know my problem versus, okay, before I Google, let me just take a breath and know him. Monday, I went and had eye surgery, and I was told, I don't know by who, but in my brain was, as soon as the eye surgery's over, you're going to see really clear. I'm like, this is amazing. I cannot wait. And so I don't know what drug they gave me, but it was of God, because I just, like, they're digging around my eyeball, and I don't even care. I'm just like, this is awesome. Whatever you want to do, just chop my head off. I don't care. And so I got done with the surgery, and they sat me up, and I could see decent, all right? It'd take a while, I could see okay. So they ran me to the car. I got in the car with Robin, and we're going to go eat. she's driving, and all of a sudden, I couldn't see a thing. Like, when I say that, it would look like I was standing this close to the white wall. Like, if I just put my face up to the wall, because all I saw was just white. I could see no form. I could see no forms of anything. It was just white. And the old panic mark showed up. The mark that I thought I put to death. And that boy showed up after a 20-year being dead, resurrected himself. And I start thinking, oh my God, I'm going blind. I'm going to be blind. I can't believe I had the surgery. Robin's like, honey, calm down. You're not blind. I am probably blind. I can't see. They told me I could see. Honey, just calm down. It's going to be okay. No, you got to take me back. I got to go back. I want to say, oh my God, why'd I do it? I don't even know why I did it. I should have never done it. I should have just stayed blind because now I am blind. At least before, like literally, your pastor is having a royal panic attack. And my sweet bride is looking at me like, I married an idiot. Like he preaches every week. He should know better. And my little brain is, and so we end up going to the restaurant. I can't see. I'm panicky and I'm Googling. I'm sitting there Googling. She said, what are you doing? And I got one eye closed. I'm trying to see if I'm blind and why it went bad. Oh God, don't ever Google, do cataract surgeries go bad? Oh my God, every cataract disaster will show up. And I'm like, I knew it. And then it tells me the kind of lens I got. And you shouldn't have got that lens. Your eyeball's probably gonna rot out. You're never gonna see right. And so I'm just like shaking. And she's just sitting as calm as could be. I'm surprised you didn't just punch me. Like, you're an idiot. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but I realized that was happening. I realized this is really happening. I've lost my mind, and I forgot. Who's touching me? And I forgot who has me. I forgot who has me. I am His, and He is mine. And it was an instantaneous, I just took a deep breath, and internally I thought, God's got it. And the moment I said that, my eye didn't get better. The moment I said that, if you could have felt it, every weight, every bit of anxiety, it was better than the drug they gave me. It was just a washing over of, my Father has me. Close your eyes. I'm going to end there. I got a lot more, but I feel like that's for somebody in the room. God has you. Ooh, I feel that. Oh, in my soul, I feel this. The anxiety, the angst, the Googling, the what ifs, the tremors, the fears, the shaking, the constant checking, the brain that just tells every tormenting possibility over and over, and it won't go away. Oh, I feel tonight to tell you there's hope. There is great, great hope in your Father God who knows you and watches over you. Stand up with me if you will. If you're here today, if that's you, would you just come up and let me pray for you? I want to put my faith with your faith. So if that's you and you're just like, oh, that's me, man. I'm having that panic attack you had, those thoughts, anxieties. Anybody? Amen. Praise God. Come on, stretch your hands out to Steph. Come on, ladies. Some of you ladies, get around her. Oh, blessed God Almighty. I thank you. You care so much for her that you can shut down an entire message to say, I got to talk to some of my kids. So, Father, there's nothing I can do for her. her mind, her thoughts. There was nothing Robin could do for me. Nothing a doctor could say to me that could bring me peace. No Google. It was you. And so tonight, to my dear, sweet sister, would you be that father that cares for her? The anxiety over her mind and the pressure over her shoulders, it would just leave supernaturally. And tonight she would just rest with, God has this. My Heavenly Father knows me. He knows my coming and my goings. He knows when I wake up. He knows when I lie down. He knows where I go, wherever I make my bed. My Heavenly Father knows me. He knows my comings and goings. He knows me from my head to my toes. He knows the inner workings of my life. He knows the inner workings of my bones. He knows the inner workings of my blood. He knows the inner workings of my muscles and my ligaments. I feel this. He knows you, Steph. He knows you. He knows every cranny and nook of your life. He knows every spot of your being. Now, Father God, overwhelm her with your peace. Let her know your peace like never before. Let her wake up and go, I know him. His peace found me in the middle of a storm. His peace found me when my mind was spinning flips. His peace found me. So, Father God, like you did for me sitting at that table 2 days ago, I ask you to do for her tonight. I ask that the spinning of the thoughts in the room and the anxiety, that she would not feel guilty. She would not feel any less of a woman of faith. She would not feel any less that I need more faith. Maybe, and I've felt that. I don't know if you've even asked that to God. What if I just need more faith? I got to get more faith. And I just felt the Lord say, no, just trust me. Just trust me. There's nothing else you need to do, but trust me. Just trust me. Just rest in me. Breathe in my peace. Breathe in my hope. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Jesus. And let her testimony be such. Let her testimony be such. In Jesus' precious name. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Do me a favor, if you will, just in this atmosphere as Michael plays, just let the Holy Spirit touch you. I want you to know him, but I can't know him for you. I want you to know his peace. I want you to know his goodness. I want you to know his kindness, but I can't know him for you. I can't fight your battles for you, but in those times, that's how you get to know him. You press on, you trust him, you hold on to him, you wrestle with him, you get to know him. So tonight as we worship, would you just allow your spirit to, your soul to say, God, I just want to know you. Maybe you're wrestling with an anxiety, a fear, a frustration, his wisdom and your wisdom, a marriage issue, a health issue, a money issue. So there's this battle of wisdom. What should I do? How should I do it, God? Tell me. So tonight as we worship him, get to know him. Don't just sing words. Let the words connect you to him. Let the words connect you to who he is. He's a good God. He's an awesome creator. Just breathe in the breath of God and just worship him. Hallelujah.